following audio is from St. Nick's Durham. As a church, we exist to love God, love people, and love Durham. We hope that this sermon will serve you well as a supplement to your regular Bible reading, prayer, and participation in your local church. For more information about St. Nick's Durham, directions or resources, please visit stnicks.org.uk.
One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read that David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out, and they began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sue. Good morning. Let's pray. Jesus Christ, you are the Lord of the Sabbath. Grant us your peace and rest, and raise us up into your eternal life. Amen. Amen. So the two stories we'll be looking at today come at the end of a series of five stories that we have been looking at for the last few weeks. The stories began 3 weeks ago with a simple question in their hearts: what is he doing? And now they've escalated to a plan to outright kill Jesus. With each story, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we've moved into this escalation. So 3 weeks ago, these five stories began with a man being lowered down through a roof. "Son, your sins are forgiven." Shock. Gasp. And the Pharisees think to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" In the second of these stories, Jesus calls the tax collector Levi to follow him, and later would eat with him and other sinners. "Why does he eat with sinners and tax collectors?" the Pharisees ask. In Jesus, God and sinners are reconciled. He has come as healer, to heal us from the wounds and infection of sin. And the third of these stories we heard last week from Jeff. How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not? Jesus responds to them in terms of celebration, of a wedding, of the guest's joy for the bridegroom. He talks about new patches on old garments and new wine in old wineskins. He talks here about a new reality that, as we heard last week, cannot be contained in the old. This is the kingdom of God that Jesus has been preaching about. The kingdom of God being Lord of his Sabbath. Lord of his lordship. Forgive me. The pattern of the world is being righted. The Jesus revolution is the breaking in of God's kingdom. So today we're looking at stories 4 and 5 in this series. So, Jesus has been very busy. He's gone about the area of Capernaum, village to village, as an itinerant minister, preaching and teaching, "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." And he's performing miracles, and every single place he goes, crowds gather, and people begin to follow him. Now, on this particular day that we're looking at, it happens to be the Sabbath. It is the 7th day of the week, the day that the Israelites were commanded to rest. God commanded it himself in the 10 commandments given to Moses, that they were to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. This was to be a day of rest, a Sabbath from their labors. So on this particular day, as a Sabbath, they're walking through these grain fields, and they're picking stalks of grain as they go, and they're eating, having a little snack. The Pharisees take notice. Now, I sort of doubt that the Pharisees are scattered about the countryside, popping their heads up, looking to see what Jesus is doing over the grain fields. Just an interesting image, but I don't think that's what's happening. Probably they were just walking alongside with Jesus and the followers, as the rest of the crowds were doing. But I do get the sense that at this point in the story, they are lurking around, waiting to see what Jesus will do, waiting to see if maybe he'll slip up somehow. Look! Look what they're doing. Why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Now, to understand what's going on, we must realize that that simple commandment, the 4th commandment, about doing labor on the Sabbath, has been worked on and developed over time, and is now a sort of extended body of practices and rituals that they were to follow. What was once simple is now much more complex, so that here in the eyes of the Pharisees, Jesus' disciples are breaking this 4th commandment by picking the grain. And how does Jesus respond? He defends his followers, not by arguing the point from some legal standpoint, but he points to King David. Verse 25, "Have you never read what David did when his companions were hungry and in need? He entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions." What does Jesus mean? It sort of seems to come out of nowhere, doesn't it? Why is he pointing at David? Years ago, when I first read the gospel, I used to think that this was just a situation where Jesus was basically saying, "Lighten up. People are more important than laws. King David did it, so don't worry about it." It's a little bit more complex. So, Jesus is making reference to what is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 21. And this is a time when young David is fleeing for his life. King Saul wanted to have him killed, but David was anointed to be the future king. For God's purposes to be fulfilled, for the new king to one take up his throne and fulfill destiny, he needed to eat. He needed bread now. The matter was urgent. If David's kingdom was one day to supersede Saul's, then his men and him needed to eat. So, like David, Jesus was also the anointed. He was the Messiah. And David was the rightful future king of Israel, and Jesus is here paralleling himself with David. So what is he talking about? This is the new wine and old wineskins we heard about last week. We're talking about a new order of things, a revolution. We're talking about the inbreaking of the kingdom of God that Jesus has been preaching about in the kingdom of this world. There's a clear analogy here between Jesus' situation and David's. For both, there's a group of followers that represent what Larry Hurtado says, a new and yet unrecognized regime in emergency circumstances. There's an urgency that necessitates their action. Jesus and his followers are doing the work of God. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. And before I became a Christian, I would often argue against Christianity. I thought it was all nonsense. I also thought at the time that becoming a priest would be the biggest waste of time one could ever do with their lives. Well, I was young, and I got a girlfriend. Where is she? Now my wife. And I would have often conversations, debates, really arguments about Christianity. And one night, in her wisdom, she was quiet and let me just talk it over myself. And I remember saying something similar to, well, if this is true, then this must be true. And if that is true, then this means, I wish I knew what it actually was, then this means, and bam. And all of a sudden, I knew with all of me that everything I had been arguing against was in fact the truth, that there was a God and that he loved me, that Jesus, what they said about him, that he died and he resurrected on the third day, that was true. I also knew that this had major consequences, and I kept on saying, do you know what this means? Do you know what this means? And Hannah was just flabbergasted. What's happening here? And I remember looking out the front, or the back window before me, and it was like light itself looked different. It was oranger somehow. And light itself looked different. Somehow, something happened in that moment. I have no idea where I am in my story. Forgive me. But somehow, something radically changed. And I had a glimpse of something radically new and something of God's kingdom in that moment. Verse 27. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And this is the crux of our readings for today. The Pharisees have somehow, they've gotten things backwards, upside down. And for a moment, let's just pause to think about what the Sabbath meant for the people of Israel. The Sabbath is a gift of God given to the Jewish people. We all need rest, and we can certainly go on at length to talk about how important it is for us to rest, especially in our modern day, when rest and time away from not working is more and more difficult, away from all the distractions, etc. And to perhaps be at home with our families, resting. To reorder our lives around this principle would be absolutely amazing. And certainly I find, like I said, it is increasingly difficult for myself, and I imagine for many of you that the same thing might be the case. But especially for our purposes today, I want to point out that the Sabbath is much more than a time to simply recharge our batteries. The Israelites were to rest on the Sabbath day because in the creation account of Genesis 2, God rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. It was not just some nitpicking ritual. They were commanded to do what God did. They were commanded to imitate God and rest on the Sabbath day, on the seventh day. Now, the entire purpose of the Sabbath is to raise up humanity, to rise above the routines of earthly labors, to fulfill our unique privilege of being created in God's image and living in covenant relationship with Him. The Sabbath is made for man. And then Jesus says in verse 28, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus is claiming authority over the Sabbath. If Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, this implies that he is sent by God himself. What else is he Lord of? Is he Lord of the rest of the Jewish law as well? And what are the implications of this? These may be questions that the authorities might have asked themselves, and they didn't like the answers they came up with. Jesus is here pointing to his divinity. Just as only God has authority to forgive sins, only God has authority over the Sabbath. So with this in mind, we come to our fifth and final story in this series. Jesus is in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and there is a man there with a shriveled hand, and the Pharisees are looking for some excuse to accuse Jesus. They know what Jesus can do. They've seen his miracles. They've heard the stories. But the question is, can they bring a legal case against him if he heals here on the Sabbath? What will Jesus do? This is a long way from that simple questioning in their hearts from so long ago. This has escalated to such a higher point. And Jesus beckons the man. He sees him. Jesus sees him. And he beckons the man to come to him, to come to the midst of everybody that's around. He sees him, brings him forward. Stand here in front of everyone, he says. And Jesus knows exactly what's going on, what's in the hearts of his accusers. And there before them is now someone who Jesus has pity on. This man, created in the image of God, who has been crippled and is now being used as a pawn in this game. Jesus hoped that the mere sight of this man might bring pity, perhaps. But no. Then Jesus asked them, knowing what they had in mind, which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? Jesus looks around the room, but they refuse to answer. The real question here is not the principle of some humanitarian aid on the Sabbath, but the real question is about the validity of Jesus' message and the inbreaking of this new kingdom and his claim to be Lord of the Sabbath. That's what's at stake. Many, many years ago, I used to be in the Canadian Army. And I went on a tour to Bosnia as a peacekeeping mission. And about halfway through the tour, I'd come to a place where I really despised the people there. They resented our presence, and I was sickened by what had happened there. One day we were on patrol, and as we passed through a certain village, the people lining the road, they're flipping us off, and I won't do it in the church, but they're gesturing rudely at us. And around this time, some friends of mine had actually been quite hurt. And I thought to myself, I don't want to die here for these people. And then Jesus said to me, and actually this is possibly the first time I'd ever actually heard his voice, but he said to me in that moment, you don't have to, because I already have. Jesus looks around the room, now angry and deeply distressed by their stubborn hearts. And he says to the man, stretch out your hand. Or in other words, as Saint Athanasius puts it, let the ones who refuse to hear do what they want to do. Let the ones who are hard in heart become stone. But let your right hand become full and tender. Rise, beg no longer. While the withered hand was restored, the withered minds of the onlookers were not. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, but not only of the Sabbath, but of all relations between God and humanity. Can't they see what is going on before their very eyes? The year of the Lord's favor, the jubilee of freedom and rest has come. It comes through Jesus. The Lord of the Sabbath confronts disorder and sickness, darkness and death. He restores, he liberates, and he ushers us into this radically new reality of the kingdom of God. Ironically, the Pharisees do actually answer Jesus' question by their actions. Then the Pharisees immediately began to plot with the Herodians on how they might kill Jesus. Instead of choosing to do good on the Sabbath, they chose to do evil and destroy life by immediately conspiring to put him to death. And they, of course, were ultimately able to accomplish this when Jesus died on Calvary. Then on the first day of the new week, on the Sunday, He rose from the tomb. By his death and resurrection, he undoes the effects of sin and inaugurates a new creation on this first day of the week, in which humanity is restored to the fullness of life in relationship with God. So let me end with this. I yearn for this rest. This is our hope. All of creation groans for the reconciliation of all things. And in this in-between time where the kingdom of God is breaking in, though not yet fully realized, let us know God's presence amongst us here today. We who count ourselves citizens of this new kingdom, may we participate in the good that God is doing in the world. Let us be bearers of God's kingdom to the world around us. You who have yet to know him, harden not your hearts, but listen to his voice and come. And may we all stretch forth our hands in obedience and in healing. Let us grasp the gifts allotted to us in him. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. May he be Lord of our hearts as well. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the St. Nick's Durham podcast. If you would like to hear more sermons and teaching like this, then subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For more information about St. Nick's, visit our website at stnicks.org.uk.